you sunshine, sunshine to make you grin. We're bring you sunshine, let that sunshine in. Pull back the shadows of misery, blow away the dust and you'll be free to soak up some sunshine. Let that sunshine in.
Hello, and welcome to another in the series, Instant Sunshine Reads Me Together Again, with guests. Many of you will be thinking at this very moment about your holidays. If, like us, you need more than beautiful women, sun, beaches, and beautiful women, follow our example and boldly go where no Radio 4 audience has gone before. The Songwriter's Paradise, where rhymes are 12 a penny.
Last year we went to heaven on a tandem and pedalled around paradise in spring. And though our way was unplanned and quite random, we found paradise in trim. We spent a blissful day on gay abandon in a nook where honeysuckles cling. And now each year we take our trusty tandem and visit paradise in trim. Tring, 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 celestial angels on the wing sing. Tring, tring, tring. Our very souls still yearn each April to return, and we ignore the saddle sores that cycling's bound to bring. Our pilgrimage through hearts elevates our hearts, and as we pedal nearer we can hear an angel sing. Tring, 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 seraphim and cherubim sing. Tring, tring, tring. Tring, 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 church bells as they madly swing. Ring, tring,
tring, tring, dong,
dong.
Tring, tring,
tring,
dong,
tring,
dong,
tring. We spent a blissful day on Gay Abandon in a nook where honeysuckles cling. And now each year we take our trusty tandem and visit paradise in.
Have a chocolate ice in.
Things are awfully nice in tree.
A recent survey shows that in 1986, most men in this country buy their clothes from one large chain store. I suppose chains must be in style. I always go to a bespoke tailor in Wapping, and he makes me a nice bespoke suit. You know, bespoke trousers and bespoke jacket. He makes lots of check suits, too. It's amazing how many East Europeans there are in Wapping. Now, but what people are looking for is style.
She didn't like his gold earrings or his cowboy hat. His beard was not endearing like a beer-stained man. His lamette tights held no delights, and his pink sarong was somehow wrong. Most women would have run a mile, but she liked his style. She didn't like his green hairpiece and his butch perfume. The scent of rancid car grease made her leave the room. She thought his pink pants lewd, preferred him nude. But his tattooed thighs caused no surprise. They didn't even make her smile, but she liked his style. His style that makes you feel all right, his style that makes a grey day bright. Though you look like a dull dog's dinner, with style you're a winner. He didn't like her nose ringlets and her shaven head. In skin-tight silken singlets she looked underfed. With her eyebrows shorn, so frail and worn, and with lips bright green, she looked cruel and mean. He thought he'd kissed a crocodile, but he liked her style.
Mm-hmm.
Darling, I hate to be a bore, but could you possibly get your barbed wire earrings out of my beehive hairdo without forcing your ceremonial spurs any further into my whalebone bustle? Or shall I ring for the fire brigade?
But underneath this grim fashion, they were hand in glove. With bourgeois passion, they fell in love. And in the end, they knew they'd say, I do. And the choirs would sing, and they'd swap a ring. And hand in hand walk down the aisle. In style, both dressed in driving suits and snorkel made for two. In style, the thicker wearing boots and goggles trimmed in blue. In style, while smoking long cheroots, playing hymns on a kazoo. In style.
Somebody once said that the Battle of Waterloo was won on the playing fields of Eton, but actually that's not quite true. It was actually won in the cotton mills of Lancashire. Now the reason for this is because an army is only as good as its clobber. After all, we've had chain mail and suits of armour, and of course in the Crimean War, cavalry twills. Actually, what really scared the enemy out of its wits at Crimea was the charge of the light green braid. Oh yes, yes, there's a lot to be said for being dressed to kill.
At the height of World War II, Adolf Hitler never knew he had more than Winston Churchill who couldn't run. But defending Britain's shore was Mike Grand who won the war by knitting socks for soldiers on the front. Knitting plain and pearl and plain time and time and time again with her airy helmet hiding silvery locks. Busy clicking plain and pearl, khaki footwear would unfurl a woolly secret weapon, granny socks. Knitting for victory, fighting the foe. Knitting for Britain, for row after row.
Needling Nazis to retreat, speeding Hitler to defeat. Knitting on to victory. Through the battle's heat and noise, granny socks cheered up our boys at Normandy and spurred them on to win. Every pair that she'd complete meant that two more glorious feet were marching on to victory and Berlin. Granny's handmade woolen socks helped her flank the desert folks when Monty had her Rommel on the run. Feet could breathe through every pore of the socks our soldiers wore while German feet grew sweaty in the sun. Knitting for victory, fighting the foe. Knitting for Britain, a row after row.
Needling Nazis to retreat, speeding Hitler to defeat.
Knitting on to victory.
In her shelter, Granny sat with her gas mask and tin hat, wearing siren suit, long comms and woolly mitts. Till the doodle bugs were stopped, not a single stitch was dropped, with her knitting needles clicking through the blitz. When her Hitler sniffed defeat, he had failed his soldiers' feet. They hobbled to surrender like old crocs. Granny's knitting brought us through, for Winston Churchill knew a British Tommy marked it on his socks.
And now it's time to introduce our musical guests onto the show. In years gone by, when mothers got fed up with their children, they used to tell them to go out in the streets and play. In only two known instances have these children gone out to the streets to play and then gone on to make a fortune out of it. And here they are now, the most famous outdoor band, apart from the mass bands of the Guards, the Cambridge Buskers.
We'd like to play Mendelssohn's Violin Concerto, but unfortunately Michael hasn't ever learned to play the violin, so here it is, played on the small, very shiny, black plastic Japanese recorder.
Yes, Dag doing the squeezing and Michael doing the blowing, the Cambridge buskers, though of course they don't play outdoors nowadays, far too dangerous. Now we're going to ask them to play with us on one of our songs, and it's sort of a 1950s folk song, really, dating from the times when kids really did go out and play in the street, not, as nowadays, go out and burn the street down. Things were a lot different in the 50s. If you went to the cinema to watch Rock Around the Clock, it was called a major riot. Nowadays, if you go to the cinema to watch anything, it's called British Film Year. Yes, things have changed a lot.
We're the kids on a corner, mucking about in the street. We're kicking bricks and chopping sticks and knocking round with kids. We meet the games we play go on all day. We're out in Sunport Street. We're out in a park, it's quite a lot, just mucking about in the street. We're running and jumping and hopping and skipping and chucking our bricks at the cats on the wall. We're yelling and screaming and hiding and seeking. We're back alley cricket, we're batting the ball.
How's that?
Sociology students studied the kids in the street. One lad was bright and thought he'd write a book, and so made us repeat our rhymes and names of all the games, and now his book's complete. He's never skint, he's made a mint on mucking about in the street. Jumping, starting, stomping, tripping, hiding, seeking, hopping, skipping, mucking about around the corner. When the arm of the law comes crawling around his feet, we lie in wait to confiscate his helmet, and then run down the street. He joins a chase, they quite our pace, despite his monstrous feet. Policemen say they waste their day just mucking about in the street. We're running and jumping and stopping and skipping and chucking all pieces of chips and all thing. We're yelling and screaming and hiding and seeing. We're back at it, big and we're starting a ball, mucking about around the corner. Mucking about around the corner, lady sent from a welfare interview kit in the street. We're anxious, frown, they write it down, we tell some tales you can't repeat. We say that daddy's staring mad and mum drinks whiskey neat. Our notes are packed with fibs, in fact, we're mucking about in the street. We're running and jumping and stomping and skipping and chucking our bricks at the cats on the wall. We're yelling and screaming and hiding and skipping. We're back at it, bringing the spat and the ball. Mucking about around the corner. We're the kids on the corner, mucking about in the street. We're kicking bricks and chucking sticks and knocking round with kids. We meet the games we play go on all day. We're out in sun or sleet. We're out of parties, quite a lot, just mucking about in the street. We're out of parties, quite a lot, just mucking about in the street. Wow.
Wanted.
person with the ability to make quick-fire decisions with superior scientific intelligence and nerves of steel. Please apply at once to the British Astronaut Selection Board, Department of Transport. Previous experience, an advantage.
Come in.
Oh, good morning. My name's Crumb, Nigel Crumb, DFC and Bath.
Oh, distinguished flying cross, eh? Splendid. Just the sort of check we are after.
Well, actually, it's Dagenham Football Club. Gasworks N Bar. But I think you'll find that I match your requirements pretty well.
Terrific. here we go. Mr. Crumb, we're looking for someone who can make quick-fire decisions. Is that you?
Oh, yes. I'm so glad you asked me that, because it happens to be one of my particular strengths. As a matter of fact, according to my latest calculations, I can reveal that I've already made 193 quick-fire decisions since I first got up this morning.
Is that so?
Indeed it is, yes. I won't burden you with the details, but I just happen to have a note of the first dozen or so right here. Here we are. Here we are. Yes. No. Yes. All right. No, not again. Yes, but make it quick.
Okay. I get the picture. Very impressive. Well, now, Mr. Crumb, we are looking for someone of superior scientific intelligence. Someone who can...
K equals E DYDXN over chi squared binomial pi to the root theta minus 1.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, it's just one of the scores of scientific formulae that I carry around in my head, ready to apply at a moment's notice. That particular one is Crumb's third law of thermodynamics. Happens to be one of my favourites, actually.
Is that a fact?
Indeed it is, yes. If you care to lend me your wristwatch, I'll demonstrate it in action.
Well, well, all right.
Thank you very much. Now, observe that the second hand is moving in a clockwise direction, and that it takes exactly one revolution a minute. With me so far?
I think so.
Right. Well, now, observe what happens if we raise the temperature by immersing your watch in your cup of hot tea like that.
No, don't. Wait, you...
Oh, ye of little faith. Crumb's third law of thermodynamics predicts that the mechanism will remain constant, providing theta is greater than one. Now, see for yourself.
It's stopped.
Precisely, yes. Theta was less than one. QED.
That was my grandfather's watch, you...
Genius? Yes, I know, yes. Superior scientific intelligence, that's me.
You've got a nerve.
Indeed, I certainly have. Nerves of steel, as this job requires, I believe.
Why, you... Mr. Crumb, the job is yours. But before you commit yourself, I ought to clarify some of the details of your mission, because there is a slight snag. You'll be manning a 5-year reconnaissance probe to Pluto, completely on your own and with only enough fuel for the outward journey. To put it bluntly, Mr. Crumb, we cannot guarantee to get you back.
Oh, what's the snag?
You'll be going up this afternoon.
This afternoon? You must be joking. I can't go up this afternoon. There'd be no one to feed Tiddles.
Surely your country comes first, Mr. Crumb.
No, I'm sorry. I've made my decision. After careful consideration of the terms and conditions of service, I've decided to offer my talents elsewhere.
Oh, dear, that is a shame. You mean I really can't persuade you?
No, I'm afraid not.
Basic 35-hour week, double time overtime, 6 weeks annual holiday?
No, sorry. Goodbye.
We'll throw in luncheon vouchers. Phew, what a nutcase. Nearly got lumbered there.
Did you say luncheon vouchers?
The scourge of modern civilization, the motor car. Dirty, smelly, and no one knows what's going on under the bonnet. Why? It's all down to the invention of the internal combustion engine. I mean, I ask you, there's a fortune awaiting the first man to patent the external combustion engine. Think of the advantages. Plugs sparking where you can see them. Polish your pistons without taking off the cylinder head. No gaskets. And the oil change. Just spray your multigrade all over the car. Sounds a bit like Peter's new auto.
My car has power-assisted steering and a sleek push-button radio and laminated screen. My car is a feat of engineering with adjustable front head restraints upholstered in lime green. I could write the sonnet on the bits beneath the bonnet of my car. My car. My car has coil spring front suspension and a headlamp warning buzzer light with fascia trimmed in teak. My car has the roomiest dimension and has fine hydraulic tappets and a sunroof that won't leak. Tuning like a string quartet, playing a Mozart minuet. Duet. My car, my car. When I bought my car, the salesman was so charming, so persuasive and disarming. I knew that he'd go far and speeding to the open road ahead. His high-powered sail stocks spun around my head. But my car just conked out, zonked out. I opened up the bonnet, and with a heavy heart, I gazed so kindly on it, but still it wouldn't start. And stuck on the heart's shoulder, the weather getting colder, I longed to be inside a cozy bar. Why did I buy my car? That blooming salesman said, my car has a new self-cleaning complex and enlarged oil filter elements and rather special plugs. My car has the choice of several roof racks and a dual braking circuit and has thick wild woolen rugs. I can sing an aria about my Gladiaria. My car, my car. I felt that I could weep when I saw the breakdown lorry, and the man said, you'll be sorry you brought this rotten heap. You'll curse the blessed thing before too long. This make of car is always going wrong. And my car just stopped it, dropped it. I checked the gas and oil, and they weren't even low. And after hours of toil, the thing would still not go. I checked the whole transmission, now need a brain physician. A breakdown leaves a nasty scar. Why did I buy my car? That blooming salesman. But my car's been smashed up, smashed up. I kicked the radiator and only stubbed my toe. But several hours later, the stress began to show. I sloshed the carburetor and I felt so much better. I couldn't stop and went too far. Now I've destroyed my car. I've torn the thing apart. I really hate my car. I knew it wouldn't start. Why did I buy my car?
Now, the creation of the written word is a real labour of love. Those hours sitting in front of a blank piece of paper looks like an acre of space. You start doing other things, sharpening up your pencil, checking your rubbers, changing the ribbon on your typewriter. But think of the poor graffiti writer sitting in front of a blank side of a building. Looks like an acre of space. Probably is an acre of space, okay? Starts doing other things, checking his brushes, mixing his paints, changing the rope on his extendable ladder. Not surprising that graffiti writers don't often write much. I mean, they never write a book, do they, on a wall? Just a few succinct words, like the famous one found in the ashes under Vesuvius. Pompeii for the cup!
Now the writing's on the wall. We are deciphering the scroll. And there's a lyric style that's standing out of our 4 inches wide. Here, Kilroy was here. Kilroy struggled hard to become a famous bard, although his presentation was beguiling. Inspired by the muse, he worked in public loos, writing rhyming couplets on the tiling. Haunted by self-doubt, he wrote his poetry out, though laboratory attendants tried to spoil it. And yet his stature grew in urinal and loo, and soon he was the talk of every toilet. Now the writing's on the wall. His work's admired by us all. Consistency door door. His verse is never bored. It's always quite clear. Kilroy was here. Behind each toilet door, there's a sonnet near the floor, with well-proportioned sketches all around it. As you pull the chain, you discover a quatrain above the tank, and thank your stars you found it. To study Kilroy's style, you must scrutinize each tile. He likes to put his students through their paces. A search is not complete unless you lift the seat. His verse is found in most unusual places. Now the writing's on the wall. There are graffiti we recall. A sonnet on a tile, or verse that made us smile, and it's been quite clear. Kilroy was here.
You see his lyric oats scratched deep on old commodes, or hear them quoted at a cocktail party. In brimmy or latrine, heroic verses seen, a thunderbox can thrill the literati. Collectors search with care for Kilroy work that's rare, whose medieval closets are revealing. And researchers have found rooms in several Grecian tombs with Kilroy hieroglyphics on the ceiling. Now the writing's on the wall, we have a heritage of scrawl. And where he made his mark, they'll soon put up a plaque which makes it quite clear Kilroy was here, which makes it quite clear Kilroy was here.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, it's Hello and Goodbye to Instant Sunshine. Or if you like, David Barlow, Peter Christie, Miles Kington and Anna Marion Davis, who will reasonably together with their guests, the Cambridge Buskers. The programme is produced by Richard Eagis, and we'll be back next week with another Monty Davis. Good
got sunshine, it's a good time, have a fun time with sunshine. We got some sunshine ahead. Sunshine, it's fun, 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 it's f